Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 293 of 4th and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Prime, Mr. Mal, and damn Skippy the Tank, Hollis Thomas in the building. Today we are talking about our favorite superlatives. You know, everyone's talking about news and notes. We thought we'd spice it up with some training camp superlatives. Look at the superb artwork. You know,
hair.
Superb artwork. but before we get into that, shout out to everyone who showed up. The 30,000, almost 30,000 people that showed up to support the birds, and they came out to support your boys at the tailgate. Look at Hollis over there, man. You towering over all these small people over there.
I know. I almost didn't post that picture because I was like, man, I am large and in charge. Good God, man. But and then you know, the funny thing was, I don't know if you remember the guy introduced you to my boy Scott. His girl was up there dancing behind the DJ all the whole time. Soon as he went to the bathroom, I was like, let's take a picture. And So we was out taking the picture, and she was like, where the hell is he at? I was like, yeah, that's him running towards us now as they snapped the shots. Like, oh, yeah, he didn't get in it. It was so epic, though. It was like that one can't get right.
So, I mean, it was a great day, man. A lot of people had fun. It was very impromptu. I think, a lot of things were happening. It was Prime's birthday. He's 43 in the Tybo class now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Bringing in the year 43. You know what I mean, with some great Eagles happiness and everything, being able to be with my Eagles family. So it was a great day.
Ev was working hard on the cheesesteaks. If you've never been to
back sweat going on, bro, like back sweat was real.
Well, man,
the burger.
I will give Ev props on the burger. It was tender and delicious.
I appreciate that.
It was hot as fish grease outside. Burger went down smoothly, though.
the tailgate was awesome. I mean, it was awesome just to get back in the lots, see everybody, reconnect, just get down in front of the link, man. And you started mentioning in the beginning of the show, you know, thank you to all the 30,000 people that showed up. To be honest with you, I didn't know if you were talking about the practice or the tailgate, because the people showed up, man. We were in mid-season form with this tailgate, and if that's any sort of precursor for how this year is going to be tailgate-wise, it's going to pop off this year, so don't miss it.
I think there's a lot of juice, man, that's going to be created by this tandem. You might have heard of them, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. That was one of the big plays from the open practice that people were still talking about. And if you guys seen the play up close, and then if you look in the comments –
the trash comments that we typically see. Terrible thrown ball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's got, if there was a better safety, he would have caught. I'm like, that was a nice ball. It hit the ground. He picked it up. He threw a touchdown. I don't understand.
It was the funny part was when he threw it, that's pretty much the only place he could put it without it getting picked off.
Exactly.
And because if you look at it, if you throw it higher, the safety is going to pick it up or you're going to get AJ killed. The way it just dropped in there, that was the only place you could put it. And I'm glad – I was telling you guys before we came on, I'm glad we got receivers that actually go after the ball and actually catch it. We used to have receivers that just let the other team catch it, run the other way, throw their hands in there like it was a pass interference. You're not getting that call. Yeah, the ball's in the air. It's everybody's. So that was one good thing. That was one good thing I saw.
Now, Mal, what's one thing you saw from practice that you thought should be mentioned? Oh, my bad. Mal was dealing.
Put him in the bathroom.
Yo, how y'all gonna do him? Like, come on, man. No, you know what I mean?
I was gonna say the reason I didn't show up is because Evan Hearn gave me a bad crunchy beer, some old peanuts and stale ass beer. I got sick. I was supposed to be there.
Also, you the one with the called in sick, toilet flushing and stuff.
He was literally.
Tell me that's not. That's all.
Wasn't no toilets flushing. But I was.
Would you try that?
Did I try what?
Would you try that? What's on screen right now?
This nasty ass thing.
Some crunchy beer, peanuts and beer.
No. I can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it.
So like
particularitis, man. You might kill somebody with that damn drink.
So why would you? Why would you try it?
Man,
it's delicious. It's a ballpark classic. It's a ballpark classic.
I'm asking for the friends.
He's from Jersey, bro.
You, so you wouldn't like. There's some mixes in life that you just wouldn't expect to go well together. Peanuts and beer is one of them, bro. You just got to try it.
They don't go well.
There's a reason that they have bowls of peanuts at bars. You're not. Man, look, you don't see people mixing together. But.
Now he's saying peanuts. You know, before it was just probably nuts and beers.
Okay.
I know Zach Pascal was dealing with food poisoning. Are you feeling better today, Mal?
Yeah, bro. I'm never gonna try Nutty Bear again, dog. I'm gonna stay away from it. What I did, man, fried chicken that was not cooked well. I don't know how you don't fry chicken correctly, but it took me out the mix, man. So
who fried it?
I
bought it at a store, man, and I knew better. I knew better.
Come on, Ball.
Hope you learned your lesson.
If it's any consolation,
I did.
You were definitely, the one sitting in air conditioning. We were all sweating our asses off, but it was a good time.
But I do have to talk about one more violation at the tailgate. Evan's parents showed up to the tailgate. This is their first time ever showing up to the tailgate in the history of tailgates. We've thrown about 100 of them. Yeah. And the man's forgets a knife, and then his family, who you could tell they're very loyal to Evan, he sends him out to go get a knife.
I didn't send them out.
You sent your parents to get a knife?
All right. So here's what happened. So we showed up. We got cheesesteaks. You know, cheesesteaks are a big attraction at the tailgate. I'm not sure if you happened to take a glimpse back at the grill, but once cheesesteaks came out, people were surrounding me. Anyway. The rolls weren't cut. I forgot to cut them the night before. So we just had uncut rolls that I would either have to tear apart with my hands or just figure something out.
Mr. and Mrs. Medical.
Yeah. Well, Prime, you were going to use your serrated fingers to cut it? Like, I don't understand what you're pointing at right now.
I'm letting you know that, you know, I mean, your boy came through for you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, this guy trying to take credit from my parents. Look at him. He's unbelievable. My parents. I explained the crisis scenario to them, and they, out of the kindness of their hearts, I say, you know, hey, I'll ride with you over to ShopRite. We'll go get it. Like, no, stay here. You got stuff to do, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they came back with a serrated knife and saved the day.
I seen that. I was like
yo, it was whack. And I felt so, I went golfing with my dad today and I told him, I was like, listen, I'm still embarrassed that I made you guys go do that. But I appreciate it. So hopefully they come back for another one and I won't make them run errands.
So it's either between you and Maul who get the can't get right award of that day.
Oh no, that was that's definitely me. At least Evan showed up. I ain't even make it out the house that day, bro. So
we
I
still
think
made
I
it
got
happen.
The can't
we
get
still
right.
Made it happen.
Hey, Ma, you know I was standing there when you called in. Oh, I can't make it. What the hell was the call
Yo.
For?
You know what's funny? I was telling my wife, I felt like I was calling out of work and shit, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, yo, I'm down bad.
And then Prime was like,
send an agent out to Miles' house to make sure he's actually inside.
Prime's like, I deal with all people like this at work all the time.
Yeah, that was the first thing he said, too.
I'm mad, yo. I was looking forward to it. I had it on my calendar and everything, bruh. And then
it's all good. We're going to have We are going to have more. So that's okay. And people are asking for another tailgate for Friday. I don't know how you expect us to do two in like less than 5 days. I'm working on some.
You're not guaranteeing anything.
Not guaranteeing anything. But what we can guarantee is we're going to give you guys, we're going to guarantee you some good superlatives. Talk about training camp. I know, you know, Mr. Damn Skippy Tank has been down there, checking out some of the players. I got a chance to get down there. We've all, except for Mal, have got to see some of the players in practice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to give our superlatives. So starting off with the first one, we're going to go UDFA, most likely to make the roster.
Mm.
We'll go around the room. We'll start with Mal.
That's a good one, man. Honestly, instead of going the route that I think everybody will go, I'm going to go Carson Strong. I expect him to play pretty well in the preseason, enough probably to maybe beat out Reason for that third spot. So I guess it depends on how many quarterbacks they decide to keep. But I think Carson Strong could make a pretty good push to make the roster. I wanted to go Britton Covey, but I'm going to go with Strong.
Oh, that's a nice outside the box. Yeah, we'll go with Tank next.
He stole my thunder. I know Carson, that's my guy. The kid out of Middle Tennessee. No, he got drafted. He's not an undrafted free agent. Hey, the sprinter.
Oh, Devin Allen.
The sprinter. Yeah, the one we picked up. I feel like we're gonna look for a lot of speed this year, and do to just mix things up. I think the run game is going to set up a lot of things as far as like as far as passes and stuff. And I think we're going to run some of those hand sweeps, not only with him but with AJ Brown as well. But I think he'll be a good changeup, and we're probably going to be needing a punt return guy, since we're probably going to trade some of that other Jalen Reagor.
All right, we got two opinions there. Maybe someone could spice it up. I'll go with Prime. UDFA most likely to make the roster.
Yo, Primo look frozen, bro.
He's Han Solo over there. He's Han Solo over there.
He's frozen. Man down, Pippin.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, we'll go with F.
Did anybody get cliche yet? Because I'll just come out and say it.
Go ahead, say it.
It's Britton Covey, bro. It's Britton Covey. It's
most likely, yeah.
Listen, I know that's kind of the hot name right now. He's probably going to get some more superlatives before the night is over. But from what the kid has been doing, from a dire need aspect and what he brings to the table in kick returns, and the fact that, you know, the back end of our wide receiving core, it starts to get a little dodgy. So I think that what he brings in a special teams capacity could definitely bump him up the list. I like Britton Covey, but another guy I'm keeping an eye on, just to, you know, throw a little spice, a little saison on there.
Whoa, cultured man.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Bama cornerbacks, bro. Like Josh Jobe is a guy that has been chilling in the cut, man. And I think that he is. I've heard, you know, some good chatter about him, but whether or not he's going to be able to, you know. He's not going to be able to beat out any of the guys that are sitting there starting in the secondary right now. So he's more of a depth guy.
And that's the hard part, right? Is that like the secondary is super deep. And so maybe in a different year, Joe might be that guy. Exactly. Somebody else mentioned Mario Goodrich, who are two really good players that injuries caused them to go undrafted. But like that corner group is deep, bro.
That's what I mean.
They are.
Because you haven't even mentioned Avante Maddox, who's the starting corner and
the slot. Yeah.
It's the slot corner. It's like you look at our secondary now. We have it's going to be rough to see who makes the squad.
Yeah.
I mean, and that we hadn't had that in quite some time.
Yeah,
and it's a great problem to have. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yes, it is. It seems like we keep adding competition back there, and as long as you have that quality competition, I think we're gonna have a good team.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm gonna go Britton Covey, my guys. Britton Covey, he's a guy before everyone started talking. He's a guy that I was high on, and after hearing a lot of the players,
what the hell is Prime doing?
this man.
All right.
Okay.
Big Ass decided to go ahead and join us tonight. He took up all. So now I'm trying to stay on.
Prime, you sound like you're in the Upside Down, bro.
Yeah. You're right.
So like I said, Brent Covey, a guy who Merrill Reese, and Derek Gunn, Dallas Goedert, I could go on and on. A lot of players have mentioned his expertise showing up in camp, whether it's being in the slot or being a punt returner. I've been watching him closely doing punt returns. I think he's got that. He could potentially fight for that spot. So that a lot of
story. You're a guy that loves a story. Doesn't he have a story, Gail?
Oh, he does have. His grandfather wrote the book
Seven Habits for Success, something like that.
Sold about 40 something million copies. His dad,
you can tell Gail didn't buy one because he doesn't have the time.
You know, the weird thing is, I got that book for free. I actually did a couple years ago.
Frugal Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read it?
I read some of it.
Well, what's step one?
Read the damn book. That's definitely step one.
Read the book. Tank, read the book. But the thing about Britton Covey, his parents, they hired a punter to like from BYU to punt to him while he was in high school. So he's been doing this a long time. Prime, did we get your guy, dude?
Nah,
but you know, I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and
say, oh God, no.
For the little bit that I have seen of him, the videos of him with the punt returns and everything, I think that's a key factor that we got to go ahead and fill in. You know, it takes away from Rager because you guys already know how I feel about Rager being in that.
How do you feel about Rager?
Oh man, listen,
not a fan.
That's all you got. Say less.
Yeah, it's but the kid's got some speed. I mean, I'm seeing some of the reps that he's getting with Minshew. Would like to see a little bit more with Jalen. I've been hearing that he's been taking first reps, but I haven't seen any glimpse of Jalen and him connecting. I've been seeing more of Minshew and him connecting. So, but for the little bit that I've seen, he's getting off that line pretty fast. And again, the one thing that's getting my attention is the punt return. So I feel like he's going to be that guy that's going to go ahead and beat that team.
And I think he's only really been getting the first team reps with Devontae Smith's absence. But like the fact that he is that next guy in line when Devontae Smith leaves the field, that's an indicator to me. So
it's funny you say that when he's getting the first team reps, it's kind of when the first man goes down. So if they look into, they have some confidence in him if they bring him in like that. Yep. So it seems like it's going to be up to him to make or break it. So hopefully is he the one with the seven steps there, Gail?
Yeah. Yes. Seven steps.
Hopefully he's following those seven steps to success.
Hey, his dad is also a bestseller as well. So, I mean, this guy comes from elite genes here. Now, David, a guy who knows a lot about jerseys, if I'm staying correct, David has a crazy collection of jerseys. He says Covey needs to change his number if he makes the team. Obviously,
what's his number? 41, right?
41.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough number. Wide out, especially.
Yeah. It's almost like he's Shula wearing number 25 at the quarterback at Tennessee.
He did wear 18 in college, so we will see.
I don't know. Who's 18 now?
Well, that number will be available.
Prime's favorite player, man. Prime's boy right there.
It may be available then.
Now, moving right along to the next hot topic or hot superlative, we're going to go with the best rookie performer for the Eagles this year. We'll start with Ev.
It has to be one of those Georgia boys in my mind. But I'm going to lean towards N'Kobe Dean. I mean, we are a team that has been absolutely starved of a linebacker from this team for what feels like forever, going on a decade now. The fact that we went and invested and we're able to get a guy of N'Kobe Dean's caliber in the third round is huge. And I think he's going to have a damn near immediate impact. I think he's an extremely intelligent football player. And that's all going to translate into the NFL. I think he's going to be great.
I'll go with Mal.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jordan Davis.
Big time.
Like he has a bit more immediate pathway to playing time than N'Kobe. N'Kobe has to beat out two pretty good dudes in front of him. Whereas Jordan is already going to be a big part of the rotation, be heavy on the rundowns, right? Like they drafted him for a very specific reason. He's our first round pick. He'll get first cracks at, you know, just those opportunities to be that nose tackle for us for the future and that zero tech. So I'm going to go Jordan, man. I'm excited about all of the rookies, honestly, even the undrafted dudes. But I think Jordan Davis just makes sense. It's like that immediate sort of rookie that could probably hit the ground running pretty early.
Mm-hmm. We'll go Tank.
You really have to ask me? It's gonna be my boy Jordan. It's gonna be, but if Jordan is out there and N'Kobe's out there, then maybe it may be like a great 1-2 punch because they played together in college. They know each other. They can play off each other. I think it's gonna be Davis or Dean. Gonna be Davis initially, but I think once they get some film on him and stuff and learn what to do to him to slightly neutralize him, yep. I think Dean may catch up to him because that's normally what happens, and then we'll see what happens. When that proverbial rookie wall hits, it hits all of us, no matter who you are, where you play. That rookie wall comes like a ton of bricks, mm-hmm. and then you have to power through it because it comes like towards the middle to the end of the towards the end of the season. Whereas in college, you pretty much almost done, or you're taking time off to get ready for your bowl game, mm-hmm. and you still got another month of the NFL season. Actually, another 6 weeks of the NFL season now due to adding the extra game. And a lot of guys, they hit their wall because they're not used to still working, and it's real work, and possibly because you're not told what to do. Yeah. There's not going to be anybody coming to bring you to training table. It's like you have to tell yourself what to do. So, I think it's going to be kind of neck and neck between them.
Okay, so we got one for note to Kobe Dean from Evan. We got Mal, Jordan Davis. We got Tank with Jordan Davis. I'm going to go with Prime. I'm guessing what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Well, see, you might think you're going to probably know who I'm going for, but I'm going to stick to what Evan mentioned, man. The Georgia boys are looking real good. You know, I was a N'Kobe Dean fan going into the draft, and that's who I wanted. We got him. But bro, if I got to go ahead and be realistic, today was the day I got to say Jordan Davis actually caught my attention. And the reason why, it wasn't based off of the way he performed on the field. It wasn't based off of any, like, play off the scrimmage. It wasn't based off anything like that. It was based off of the way he handled that interview today.
Interview, yeah,
Cam Jurgens,
about the thing that video that went viral. And he pretty much stopped everybody in their tracks and then not just take credit for what he did, but made it very clear that you only saw one side of the field that day. You didn't see what Cam Jurgens has been doing and how he's been giving me competition, how he's been bringing the best out of me. Bro, never a time have I ever seen a rookie or even a player just in general come out the way that man came out today. So he won my heart today.
That was real key because I was laughing because when he said, all I could think about is like, well, you know, we had battles when we played, but one thing that Hugh used to always say is he'll be like, when one of us lose and we'd be in the meeting, everybody be laughing it up and stuff. He's like, hey, it's not the record. It's going to happen again. It's like, it's a man playing across from you, and he's here for a reason too. Yeah. And it's like, it ain't the record, and it probably won't be the last time. When he said it, that's all that resonated in my mind was just saying it. He knows that it's not always going to be peaches and cream.
You know, that maturity that you speak of, during the draft process, they had asked him, or during that, when they took that L to Alabama, he was very transparent about his not being in shape and coming into draft season. Like, he just put that nugget out there, and he, during the championship game, like, he brought his game to the next level. He challenged himself. The fact that he's progressed, he's lost some weight. Yeah. And he's not eating Swedish fish anymore. He's really honing to himself. So I'm going to piggyback off what you guys say. I'm going with Jordan Davis. I have a meme ready and loaded, ready to put out there. Thanos, aka Jordan Davis. I think he's bringing that power to the punch, and I think everyone's excited to see him. Yeah.
I know that he was very mature in the whole talking about Cam Jurgens and handling that whole situation correctly. But can we just take that situation for what it is? Like, that
he horsed that man, son.
That he moved him like a sled, bro.
He did destroy him.
This is just me talking about how excited I am for Jordan Davis. This is not a shot of Cam Jurgens. Like, Jordan Davis is a different level.
When I saw it, I was like, damn. Yeah.
And I'm going to be real. That was one of my main things with Cam Jurgens coming out of college, right? Is that, like, on tape, you saw him kind of get used by some of those bigger interior offensive linemen. So,
that's what centers get done. Centers are the weakest link on every roster. That's that point. Why do you think they put every time we play somebody, I was delegating over the nose, especially if it was a smaller guy, because I'm in there to destroy him, make his life a living hell, and it's gonna be up to Cam to take the tooling from Kelsey, because Kelsey took his lumps. But Kelsey's like one of the tougher guys, and he was like, he's not even one of the bigger centers, but he stays on that ass, and he's able to get the tie guys out, and he's able to get some wins. It's not the record, but he doesn't lose all the time, and he's been able to carve a niche for himself.
That quickness too, man. The fact that he's quick, he can beat you to the spot. So he's not going to out-muscle you, but he can beat you to the place. And there's a lot of value in that. Sometimes the best thing you could do is just get in the way, right, to open those holes up. And so, I want to see how Jurgens does in the preseason games against, some higher level of competition and definitely some larger interior alignment.
And one of the bittersweet things of that is that we're actually going to be able to get to see that. I mean, unfortunately, Jason Kelsey had to get some minor elbow surgery, so he's going to be sidelined for the next handful of weeks.
Bro, if there's somebody that needs no reps, it's Jason Kelsey.
I'm not worried about Jason Kelsey. All I'm saying is Cam Jurgens going to get that work during training camp.
I feel like we're lucky too to see if Cam can be that guy, or does he need more work? Because he's gonna see one rep, so he's gonna see their first unit. Defensively, we don't go off that. We don't pussyfoot around things. Our starters are going to play at least a quarter, as far as defensively. Now the offense, occasionally they pussyfoot around and they coddle the receivers, they coddle the running backs, and they coddle the quarterback with their bitch ass. Sorry, I forgot where I was.
Gail was a receiver. Just to let you know.
Sorry. Give me the positive, folks. I had a quick question. I didn't bring this up when we were talking about what we were gonna be bringing up. I want to hear from you guys. Which battles are you guys gonna be looking at for this rest of the camp and the preseason game? There's a couple of key battles at positions. Like who's gonna be the second tight end? Yeah. Who's gonna win between Quez? Who's gonna be there with number three between Quez and Pascal?
Safety is what I'm watching too.
Yeah. They brought some guys in, and then at middle linebacker, that's gonna be you drafted a guy, you drafted a kid to be the predecessor, but then you had T.J. Edwards here, but then you also went and got Kazir White.
Kazir White's a baller, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so it's like, and then I don't know if anybody. I've been watching practice, and Sean Bradley's been coming on lately. I'd like to hear from you guys. Which one of those battles intrigues you the most? We'll start with Prime.
I love Tank being part of this show. I'm gonna go with the tight end spot, man. I really would like to see Tyree Jackson, you know, hurry up and get back on the field. I know he's going through the injury recovery. I get it. But, like, yo, that position is up in the air for anybody, man. The way these guys are playing, the way they're stepping up in practice and everything, it could go to anybody. I mean, right now, my guy was Tyree Jackson, but, I mean, all that could go ahead and change within the next upcoming weeks with preseason coming around the corner. You know, all these other guys could go ahead and step up and you know, take away the spotlight from him. So
don't forget they added J-Jaw to the tight end.
Go on.
We haven't heard a peep about him either, which is odd.
I mean, it was crazy just seeing him play in the position on Sunday at the open camp. He did have one drop. He definitely heard it from us in the crowd. But after that, you know, he did about two or three okay plays, and then he limped off. It's like, yeah. All right, usual with J-Jaw, man. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. But now, all jokes aside, I mean, I really hope Tyree Jackson, you know, recovers pretty quick and he comes in and steps in and shows that, you know what I mean, it's still his to grab. But, yo, don't sleep on these other two that, you know what I mean, that are coming up pretty strong.
For me personally, I'm looking at the safety position. I mean, I was a guy going into the draft. I was the Kyle Hamilton guy. I wanted Kyle Hamilton. He was my
me too.
But it's fine. I'm totally happy with Jordan Davis. I love the dude. I think he's going to be a beast for the Eagles. I'm happy. But the safety is still an issue for me. So, you know, I'm looking at we brought in Jaquaski Tartt. I haven't heard much of anything about Jaquaski Tartt, man. Not even a fart? It's been pretty dull. So is this going to be the Marcus Epps show? I don't know. I've always given my props to Marcus Epps when it comes to laying the wood. But as far as coverage, I'm not so sure. So
yeah,
the safety is what I'm going to be watching.
Let's get Marlon and then end it with Gil.
I'm gonna actually go one of the positions you didn't name. I'm gonna go right guard, man. I think that, like, you know, this offensive line has a chance to be special, but that right guard position is integral, right, in order to provide stability. There's a lot of sort of changing faces and a lot of up and downs, and people hurt or sitting out games last year along the line. And so, you know, if they could figure out who that right guard is of the future, or at least for this year, you know, I think that this offense takes a significant leap forward. But without getting a lot of clarity at that spot, man, it's going to be hard for them to, like, really – draw up and execute the way that they plan on it.
Now, before I give it to Gil, at the guard spot, they had Solly Moore was throwing his helmet because he was getting his ass kicked at one of the practices I was at. Just to throw that out there.
You said who?
who was that?
Sayamalu.
Oh, yeah.
He was getting his ass kicked to perfection and he threw his helmet. I was like,
who's
if you
used
some of that energy that you used on the helmet while he was kicking your ass, then you wouldn't be throwing your helmet. Gil, what you got for me?
His ass kicked to perfection. So.
Yeah, God, it was god awful. I'm really. You know, we know the one, the two, the three, and the basically the four and the wide receiver group. I really need the back end of the guys really to. I need it to be like a making a band situation. I want you to sing for your bed. I want you to come out and sing for your position, or you're gonna be taking a walk to Junior's to get that cheesecake. I feel like. You know, because it's really like you got Britton Covey coming up from behind. You got Rager, who's, you know, he's fighting
now,
it. And I need that. I need that.
Reliable. G Ward,
you know, G Ward in the mix. Deal. And then Zach Pascal lost like 16 pounds, they said, after he had it bad. So, I mean, that's really where I need to see, because at the end of the day, those back end. The roster guys on the wide receiver position, they got to do special teams and they got to come up big when you need them. So I'm excited to see who those guys are going to be. So,
yo, we don't even talk about Hightower anymore, right? That, like, you know, he went from productive his first year to just off the mat now. So that wide Hightower receiver room is deep, man.
Yeah, I was higher on him than Quez in his first year.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, because you know they went out talking about how good he was and how this and that. I was like, oh, we got a real one, and he dropped everything that was thrown to him. Just a bit outside.
He has the speed. That's the problem with it. And he's had those opportunities downfield where he's gotten open. Just falls right to the breadbasket, man.
Yeah, but he's a receiver, so you have to catch. 100%. That's just like 100%. It's just like when they was talking about Riley Cooper was a good blocker. Gail, back to you.
Now you talk about wide receivers. We have our superlative that is perfect segue right here. Perfect segue. This one could get spicy because pre-show we had a couple different opinions here. Jalen Sekret, favorite target. You know, some people might think the first. To me, I think AJ Brown is going to be the first target. So this is kind of like a trick question. Jalen's second favorite target.
It's for me. I mean, I think the majority of the group is going to end up saying Devontae, but I'm leaning Dallas Goedert, man. I think that the connection with the tight end, you're staying inside the numbers. I'm looking at Jalen Hurts' arm strength, which I have called into question at times. And I think the tight end, it makes a quarterback with a not a rocket arm. I think a tight end is a quarterback's best friend. So I think Dallas Goedert, he's a top five tight end in the league. And considering all the other weapons he has around him, I think he's going to eat this year.
Now, you know, the weird thing is you always call that arm strength into question. I played with Drew Brees, had really no arm strength.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he didn't have no arm strength, though. Everybody keeps picking up bullshit to fuck with Jalen Hurts.
Right.
just back the man up and let Santa Slay move. Quit lip syncing, Evan. Now, his second favorite target, I think is going to be Dallas Goedert. But it's going to be initially, I think it's going to be his first favorite target, because every quarterback in these types of systems, their favorite target in their security blanket is the tight end. It's the easiest throw. It's the guy you can depend on. And if you look at their connection from last year, it's going to be one of those things. So to me, the second favorite target is going to be AJ Brown.
Oh, I like that. How about Primo?
I'm getting really tired of always agreeing with Evan, man.
I mean, you're not wrong, bro.
You are,
or right. you're really wrong.
So you're really wrong, bro. That means both of y'all wrong.
Now Dallas Goedert, I really feel is going to be that second wide receiver for him. That second weapon. You know, the fact that we have a lot of talent on the team, and it's going to draw a lot of attention. It's got to definitely open it up for one person, and I think that person is going to be Dallas. So I think, you know, Dats is going to be incredible this year. He's going to probably have one of his best years going into the season because of the fact that he's got a great amount of people surrounding him that's going to be, you know, definitely gaining that distraction. So it's definitely going to open it up for him, and, you know, Jalen's going to go ahead and shine with him. So I think that's the second weapon, his second favorite weapon this come season.
Yeah, I'm going Devontae, man. Sneakily, Devontae had a really high average depth of target. His A dot was 13.9. He really served as like the deep threat, really made up a significant chunk of Jalen Hurst's air yards. I agree with Hollis and completely disagree with Hollywood Hearn about the arm strength piece. It's overrated. It's less that and more his ability to process things in real time to make the right throws. But he has the arm to make any NFL throw, in my opinion. Yeah. So, you know, I think that he'll continue. AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert are going to keep people busy within 10 to 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. You know, when you're getting to that 15 and plus, I think you're going to see Devontae Smith get a lot of one-on-ones, get a lot of opportunities to like work the middle of the field with people that just can't cover him. And so for me, I'm going to go Devontae. I think that he has a really good second season and, you know, really reaps the benefit of having Dallas Goedert and AJ Brown underneath to drag a lot of that attention away from him. Whereas last year he was the guy, and you know, every defensive coordinator, they catered their coverages to him. That can't be the case this year. And so I feel like you'll get a lot of opportunities to just seeing that man run wild against certain defenses that want to key in on somebody else.
Well, the answer, what you got, Gil?
I was loving that because I was going to go to Devontae, and I do think taking advantage of the opposing team's, you know, CB2 or CB3, mm-hmm. whether you have it, I think Devontae Smith's going to have those matchups. You're looking across the way. Last year it was a Quez or it was a Rager who was, you know, now you got AJ Brown taking attention. You got Goddard taking that attention in the middle and over top. So I feel like, you know, Devontae has a great opportunity to eat. I do think Dallas could have a shot at that number two spot, but I think, you know, I'm going team Devontae, so I'm excited, man.
I think too that we are very privileged to have, like, I think that, I mean, obviously we have two great options at wide receiver, but to have a guy that is a burner but also a complete technician, like, that's huge, man. Like to have that second option be like, Matt, you're talking about how Dallas Goedert and AJ Brown are gonna suck up most of the stuff that is under 15 yards. Dude, like, Devontae Smith, his ability to get open isn't just limited by his speed. Like, he is a route god.
He's a technician.
So he is going to be able to get open downfield, to your point.
And to piggyback off what Evan just said, we have a damn track meet lined up. If we bring in Jalen Watkins and the sprinter, who the fuck are you going to cover?
Seriously,
who are you gonna cover now? Yeah. This is the key. Whenever you're looking at a team with a really good defense and a really good defense coordinator, they never take the number one cornerback and put him on your best receiver. Yep. What they do is they take the number one cornerback and take your number two away, and then they take your number one, they double him with your number two cornerback and help over the top. So we'll see what happens. See who that's happening to. So it's just one of the things that I learned from being with Double J, and he did the exact same thing. And then when I was on the other defenses that were really good, he's like, no, you don't put your best corner on your best receiver, because then you take away their second best receiver.
Yeah. Belichick did the exact same thing, right? Like, he'll bracket your number one and put his best corner on your number two.
That's Belichick.
Yeah, of course it is. But he wasn't cheating with the matchups, though. He was locking people up.
Yeah,
the game plan was tough, bro.
I wonder what they're gonna do offensively too. They're having a real shit show up there with Judge from the old head coach of the Giants. Yeah.
Wasn't he a special teams coach before he left?
Yeah. Oh, like, how did that man end up offensive coordinator now?
Now Justin in the chat says Devontae deserves more looks. He's going to leave in 3 years and blow the roof off if he isn't targeted.
What is this? I just want to ask a question. As I've spent the past several days going through Jalen Hurts's advanced stats, going through the film, like, I don't see what a lot of y'all see. I see somebody as a quarterback that needs to improve and, like, has areas of growth and progress, but, like, people talk about Jalen Hurts like he was objectively the worst quarterback that the Eagles have ever had.
Yeah.
Quite contrary, he actually had a better first year starting than Carson Wentz did. And so, like, why are we sitting here and saying this? No shame.
What do you mean,
drama,
we?
But, like,
what
why
do you
are
mean
we?
I'm a Jalen guy.
So for all the anti-Jalen dudes, like, where are y'all coming up with this stuff? Like, please point me in the direction of where you think that in his second year he can't make this jump or make this improvement, because I wholeheartedly disagree. Like, yes, he has areas to improve, but the way that people talk about Jalen Hurts is like he was just a net negative for it. No, bro, there were points in games where he carried us to wins. Like, yes, that Tampa Bay game was ugly. Yes, the Kansas City game was ugly. Yes, the Cowboys game was ugly. Some ugly games in there, but he also had some really good games for first year started. I was 23 years old in a brand new system. Like, let's keep things in perspective. Let's use a little bit of this context, bro.
I tend to crack up because sometimes people say what I just read across the bottom screen. It's like he doesn't have a problem going through his progressions. It's like everybody seems to think that. It's just like he knows where the ball is supposed to go, and when that person is covered, he goes to see who's open. I feel like if they take the wheels off, I mean, take the training wheels off and let him do what he does best, I think he's gonna flourish. Yeah. And I think he's just got the confidence and the willpower to will us to a championship. And I think he does what it takes to get the victory. Now everybody else who's saying the naysayers, when he does it, I don't want to hear the shit like last year talking about, oh, he beat some trash teams. Right. So that means you could go get some of your high school buddies and beat any other teams he beat last year.
Yeah,
Shut the fuck up. If you can't do that, if you can't go get a pickup team and beat the teams he beat last year, shut the hell up. It's hard as hell to get a victory in the NFL.
In the NFL,
and I don't know what, and some of the national announcers, I was like, dude, you suck ass at announcing too. What do you
already know? 17-0, baby.
And to your guys' point, I just want to say too, that like the, Mal, you're completely right in the fact that some of the Jalen Hurts slander is just completely out of left field. like, if you just look at this objectively, not as Eagles fans, we're talking about, like, dude, he's a starter in this league easily. He's a top 15 starting quarterback in this league. So,
no question.
Yeah.
But I want you to look at it. I want you to look at it objectively. Do you have quarterback strength?
Us Ev? Right now?
No, you, Ev, do you have quarterback strength? Because I heard you talking about the strength of his arm.
Can I be a quarterback? Is that what you're asking?
When you say shit like that, I'm like, do you have quarterback strength? Do you know what it's like?
Have
you seen Evan on a grill? Do you see that strength?
I'm not a good quarterback.
It's like, oh, they're talking about, oh, his arm is weak. How the fuck do you know that? Have you ever thrown a ball?
I watched last year. What do you mean?
Exactly. Say it one more time.
I watched
spectator.
Last year.
Yeah, spectator.
But like,
did you play quarterback?
But how is? Let's keep it real. Though,
but
you know.
I chase quarterbacks.
But we can see. I mean, there were definitely times to keep it real where, like, you know, Jalen. Yeah. Again, I'm not on the arm strength piece. I'm on the processing piece, right? Like,
exactly.
You process it faster. He has to anticipate throws and not wait for guys to get open. There were plenty of instances where he could have or should have done better. I see Cody mentioned in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was a shit show for all parties involved on offense and defense.
Exactly.
Right? Like, the whole entire team fell apart in that wild card game. And so all of this is a learning experience, right? Like, we can't and won't be having the same conversation about Jalen Hurts this time next year. This year is his chance to prove it. They went and got A.J. Brown. Right, like, this is their chance for that offense to take a significant step forward. I'm with Hollis. Take the training wheels off. Get back closer to, like, a 50-50 split run pass, right? Even maybe tilt a little bit more towards the pass and let him work. And if he can't do it, he can't do it. But we're speculating based off of a run-first offense that was catered to his skill set as a brand-new 23-year-old starting quarterback, mm-hmm. right? Like, progression.
Let me give the quarterback Ev some time. Go ahead, Ev.
I just want to clear the air because I'm confused because you guys are saying that Jalen Hurts needs to improve, right? So how is that any different than what I'm saying?
But see, when you say arm strength, then my ears just turn out and I can't hear you no more because you got to give me more than that.
Nah, but real.
I said that if he's able to anticipate, that would make up for his lack of arm strength.
You didn't even say that.
I said it on previous shows.
Don't lie, Evan.
I'm find the tape, Gail. All right, Gail. What's the next superlative?
He's Prime.
Thank you, Prime.
Going back off, man. You ain't gonna be keep coming at my boy Evan like that, all right?
Thank you, Prime.
Nah, Prime. What you gonna do about it, Prime? See, this that jersey connection.
I don't want to see that
crunchy beer connection, bro. Yo,
he's not
Evan. Put Evan Hearn in the bathroom, yo.
Some of the comments about Jalen has been petty. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Evan, you know, me and you went back and forth last season about this too, his arm strength. You were questioning it. I was one to tell you, I play baseball. Arm strength can be built. And we were hoping for that this upcoming season. We still are not even at that level to see it yet. You know what I mean? We're only on practice and we're only at preseason. It could come and it can happen. And that was the back and forth me and you were going back and forth. You know, about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of these fans out here, I really feel, you know, all bullshit aside, I really feel they want something from him that they would want from another quarterback. Well, you know what? Jalen is Jalen. Jalen is not another quarterback. Jalen's not Drew Brees. Jalen's not Tom Brady. Jalen, you know, it's not a Josh Allen or any of these guys. Jalen is Jalen. Jalen comes to the field with his skill set, and his skill set helped us win games last year. I give him mad credit for that. You know, the one thing that I questioned was how he led his receivers. That's what I wanted fixed.
Precision.
Going into the upcoming season. That's all I wanted. And he has the weapon that is going to go ahead and let him know that. Like, yo, just lead the ball to me and I'll do the rest. And that's all he has to do. Now, the feet, hey, listen, man, that's a plus. You know, we had that with previous quarterbacks, but this guy's been really shining with his feet. I don't think
have it with Carson Wentz though. Carson Wentz was throwing it all. He was throwing ducks all around the yard, right?
I just realized Maul talking in the background. Now hold up, Prime. Now see the way Prime just articulated what he said. I can respect that. I respect that. But with Evan, you sounded like Elliot Shore. And I hate Elliot Shore Parks. I'm gonna tell you guys. We was up in the booth one time at one of the games, and he came in there with the tightest, skinniest. I'm a rhinestone cowboy jeans on that I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't even get my camera out. I was laughing so damn hard. But that's that. But that's Ev, that's what you did sound like to me, like because you sound like a lot, like even like the kid Dave, Dan Ostrowski. That's what you sounded like. The
Orlovsky
quarterback. Yo, yeah, the 0-16 quarterback for the Detroit Lions, who's known for running out the back of the damn end zone on Thanksgiving.
The quarterback. Yo, I just feel like Cam Jurgens right now.
You hurting his feelings right now. What's the next superlative? Evan's getting cooked right now. I'm trying to save my man's, bro.
Hold on. I'm be watching you, Ev, on your Jalen Hurts comments. And they better be
I'm
like
a Jalen Hurts fan. What is going on?
They better be like Prime, but I'm just saying.
I've been patiently waiting here. I've been letting y'all do your little Jalen dissertation. Funny, we're all Jalen fans.
The biggest supporter of the Jalen Hurts taking the role from Carson Wentz. You know what?
My man got called Dan Orzlovsky and Elias Short Parks in the span of like
2 years. Come on,
bro. Moving right along, we are going.
Okay, sorry.
We are going to back to our superlatives.
Oh god,
the term started by our dude Tank right here. The can't get right award. This goes to a player who we've had high hopes for, but just hasn't got it right yet. So we'll start with Tank since he came up with the wordage. That's not even a word, but
this year normally it's Barnett. Now seeing as we're talking about Jalen Reagan, I don't think Jalen Reagan's gonna get right. I don't think he has what it takes. I think he needs change of scenery. I think we need to get what we can for him. It's between him and Big Puddin. Now Big Puddin, I don't know if you saw the interview. He was fighting for the position with Jordan Mulata. Jordan Mulata had already won if you listen to Big Puddin's interview. Between Big Puddin and Jalen Reagor, those are my can't get rights.
Okay. Reagor in the chat. I mean Jordan saying Reagor in the chat. We'll go with Mr. Strength, Arm Strength himself, Evan.
Jalen Hurts and that weak ass arm.
Way to go, Dan! Way to go, Dan!
I'm gonna go J-Jaw, man. This is a guy, and I hate to grab the low hanging fruit here, but like, it's a guy that he hasn't been able to get it right since he joined the roster, man. Since we drafted him years ago. Now we're switching him over, trying him at tight end. You haven't heard a peep about how he's doing
he's,
tight end.
He's dealing with the injury, too, right at the moment, right?
It's irrelevant at this point. Sand
somewhere.
Yeah. We have enough tight ends now that, we're going to be fine. J-Jaw is the can't get right.
Yeah,
you got a sand injury.
Prime, what's your can't get right award?
Man, listen, that's an automatic. You know, the Reagor's my king.
Oh God, don't cry.
The dude just can't get it right anywhere. Social media, out in the opening, mm-hmm. out on the team, in public, whatever. You know what I mean? His attitude just stinks, man. I'm done. I'm already checked out with Jalen Reagor and. He didn't really show me shit on Sunday. It looked like honestly, he was just too scared to even do anything because he knew
Santos face.
He knew we're gonna go ahead and give it to him. You know what I mean? I don't hold back. So I'm done, man. I think he's definitely I'll give him the award. I'll hand it to him my damn self.
Interesting. Mal, who's your can't get right?
Somebody that Hollis was talking about earlier, but Isaac Seumalo, man, this is your chance to run away with it, man. This is your chance to run with the job. And, like, you ain't running, brother. For all intents and purposes, you moonwalking backwards. And so, he was a dude I was excited about coming out of Oregon State. I thought that he had, like, some long-term upside as, like, a swing guard and center in the NFL. Just hasn't shown it consistently. Injuries and inconsistent play have really plagued him to this point in his career. He's not a young guy anymore. He's a legitimate NFL veteran at this point. And so it hurts my heart to say it because I thought he was on run with the right guard job, but it doesn't seem that way. And so it just seems like he can't get right for whatever reason. I think that for me, that would be the pick.
I'm going to try to go different. A lot of some of the names I had. So if I'm going to try to diversify some of the answers, maybe Kayvon Wallace, man. I've been waiting, man.
That's a good one too.
We've been waiting.
Yeah, facts.
We've been asking. So,
but he's got a little bit of Jalen Reagor in him too, where he likes Twitter fingers, but like he doesn't translate to the field.
And it's nothing against him as a person or anything. It's just in the sense of like, again, when we just want to see it, like you know, I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. So that's what the can't get right award winners are.
Well, yeah, that's why I came up with it because it's always that one person that, like when I played, it was always that one person they kept on the roster all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what are you keeping this bum for? It's like, you clearly could have got somebody else. He can't get right. So
And so can you offer, I'm not asking you to say any names, but can you offer like your perspective as to why that happens in the first place? Why is there guys that like last on these rosters way past when they're supposed to?
Well, the one thing that I have recognized is that the front office doesn't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. They don't ever want to be wrong. It's like, case in point, you guys remember Indy Kalu?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You remember when he got drafted and they drafted John Harris?
Second round?
Right. Indy Kalu was drafted in the fifth round. They drafted John Harris in the first round. Hmm. Who do you think was better? Well, I'll wait. I actually watched the coach cry when they had to make that cut.
Wow.
Defensive line coach cried.
Was his name Coach Puddin?
No, he was crying because he had to make that cut. He was cutting a guy that was clearly better than the other. Only reason he was keeping John was because he was a first round pick. Wow. That's the only reason.
But like that's just such like if you just think about it practically, like you see with your own eyes, one guy's better. If he's drafted lower, he's making less money. Like it all signs.
They don't ever.
But it's a pride thing. Like that's all.
But when you look at, look at it like this. How many times did Tim Tebow got a second chance?
Oh my God. I mean,
Brady Quinn. I can go on forever, baby. Want to be wrong.
Right.
It's just like dudes be stinging to high heaven. I'll be like, how the hell do you still have a job?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But Josh Rosen's the new one.
How about that fireman we had?
Oh, man. Danny Watkins was the first person I thought of when you said it. I was like, oh, Watkins, bro. That boy went put some fires out. He said, I'm good on the NFL.
but next time y'all think it can't get right, go down to people's roster and look who drafted them and where they drafted them. Like you just said, Kevin Cobb.
Yeah.
Can't get right. He got a job after he left here.
Yeah.
Can't get right.
Now, this in terms of the next award here or the next superlative, this is the person that always kind of gets it right. That's why we call him Camp Clutch Gene, a player that we believe is Mr. Clutch and has showcased that already. We'll go Ev first.
For this one, I'm honestly leaning I'm leaning towards the offensive line. You know what? I'm going to lean the offensive line. I'm leaning with my tackles, my Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson. These guys, I mean, first of all, we're talking about bookend tackles that are some of the best in the league. And we're also talking about one of them being a guy that he was not even playing football a decade ago. And we had one of the best coaches that the Eagles have ever had in history to teach him up in Jeff Stoutland and turn him into an awesome left tackle. So the Camp Clutch Gene is guys that I always know I can rely on. That's most of this offensive line, but specifically these tackles.
Ooh.
My clutch, I got to go with the big dogs on the other side of the ball. I got to go with Hargrove though. It was a couple times I thought that he wasn't going to do anything else, and he continued to surprise me. I thought after that first season, he came back from an injury. But then last year, he just came in and just started wrecking shit.
He was
nobody's business. He was balling out of control. Yep. And he's actually on the cusp of probably signing an extension if he continues to do what he's been doing. Like he was the one who made Sam Miley throw his helmet. That's all I say.
Oh, yeah. Hargrave. He the grave digger, bro. He's a bowler, man.
Now, Prime, you can't play.
I'm going to go with TJ Edwards, man.
Ooh, I like it. I like
my
it.
My man, he really showed some shit on Sunday, the way he was all over the field. I mean, again, I know it's practice, but, bro, you know, we're talking about somebody who's hungry, hungry for a contract, hungry for a roster spot, hungry to show that, yeah, regardless if you went and got Kassir White, regardless if you got N'Kobe Dean, regardless if you got some more linebackers to go ahead and fill in the roster spot on the team, this is mine. You know what I mean? Like, you brought me onto the scene for a reason, and I feel like he's showing that. And the attitude he has been having in training camp has been something that I honestly been waiting for. I know he had a decent year last year, and he's carrying it over into this season, and I'm seeing it. So I'm really thinking that he's going to be clutch and definitely going to go ahead and be, you know, that high spot on that middle linebacker spot.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that one, man, because I was talking shit about TJ Edwards after his rookie year. He liked it, and like he liked the post, and I was like, oh shit.
You're on the shit list now, bro.
That was like 8 other Twitter handles, so I'm good now. But I'm going with James Bradbury, bro. Right? That like Darius Slay we know what we got in Darius Slay. The question has always been, who are we getting across from him that could hold it down? And for all intents and purposes, it seems as though Bradbury has been giving A.J. Brown all he can handle. He's going to head up with Devontae Smith, right? Like everyone he seems to be going against, he's making plays, breakups, interceptions. You know, he's somebody that can tackle as well. And he has great size for the position, matches up well against larger wide receivers. So I'm excited to see him continue to hold it down opposite of Slay. But yeah, man, for me, I'm just excited about what Bradbury brings to this team. And I will forever be just laughing at the Giants cut him. And he came right down 95, signed that little 1-year deal, and got plugged into a defense that could be a top 10 unit this year.
That's in the chat, a nice one. Stoutland.
A little Stoutland.
Yeah, I would. He could be the mayor of Philadelphia if you wanted to be. Yeah. But my clutch gene is going to AJ Brown again. I feel like he's a guy that's been a reliable
cop out, son.
I'm just saying. Nobody said. I just feel like
low hanging fruit.
I just think he's that dude, man. Like in terms of like what we needed, like we talked about pre-show or during the beginning of the show about wide receivers that are going to Debo the ball in the air and take the ball away. We need that, especially on those slants and running those RPOs. That's going to in that yak. He's clutch when it comes to that. So I'm going to go with that. Does anyone have any issues with that one?
No, not really.
And I had to give man's love. I had to give man's love. Another wordage. I'm gonna of verbiage tank. The Big Puddin Award. This goes to a player who might not bust a grape in a fruit fight.
No, bro.
He's not gonna break the safety seal on a bottle of Astro.
Whoa.
He called the man tender though, son.
What you son? I thought we were circling the truck.
Damn. Everyone be nice.
Can't be nice with this one. If you're what the hell are you doing on a football field? There's two guys that I'm thinking of right now off the top of my head, and they've been getting their ass whooped every day in one-on-ones, and one of them they're practicing what's called it. That's the original Big Puddin, 77, Andre Dillard, and Isaiah Samalu. It's like you out there throwing your helmet like a bitch. What are you doing? They pissed me off because I felt like we were counting on them too much, and the style guy hasn't been able to get the maximum effort from those guys. So those are my Big Puddins.
I'm gonna go a little bit off the beaten path here. I'm gonna go Gardner Minshew. Minshew.
The right answer.
This guy has been. I mean, it's to me, like I'm not trying to throw shots or anything like that. It like the focus on the everything else outside of football seems a little bit too high for me. This guy with the whole thing with the living bus, in the van and like Uncle Rico in it up, like just go work on your craft, man. You are someone that went into Nick Sirianni's office last year and you're asking, what do I have to do to win the starting job? Where did that fire go, bro?
All I see
is you just being ass in practice. And honestly, like it's really starting to feel like you might potentially lose that quarterback two position. Hey. I don't know who to, because you know it's not that great behind you. But dude, for me, the big pudding is Gardner Minshew. Your time was to step up, and you failed.
Chris, his biggest fan is in the comments right now, who always shows up. Shout out to Chris. I actually sent Chris a photo of him and Minshew having a moment at camp today. So shout out to Chris. Chris is always a good sport. You'll always find him with his Jim McMahon jersey.
And always
bringing the good energy. So holler at him when you see him at a game.
Yes, sir.
Did you give your big pudding award?
Nah, I'm gonna go with Derek Barnett. I was gonna say Milo again, but I'm gonna go with Derek Barnett. Mostly because, like, yo, what is he doing? Right, like, other than jumping off sides and hitting quarterbacks illegally, like, I'm always in a state of like, what is happening with Derek Barnett? Right, and so I haven't really heard much from camp. Maybe y'all have heard, Hollis. Maybe you've seen or heard. I haven't really heard much. You know, he came back on a 2-year deal. What's going on? So
you're kind of correct. Well, you are correct. I think that's where the can't get right award came from, because we were talking last week. We were talking about he's always getting that. The unnecessary roughness, that late hit. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you remember, we made Tampa Bay fumble, and he he just knocked the shit out of the running back in front of the ref at the whistle's blown like a mugger. And he and it flagged. They get the ball back in the plus 15 yards. And then that's when Nick Sirianni, it's always him. It's always him. When the coach knows, it's always you, but they brought him back. But he's been missing the practice. They've been handling him.
And I want to say, potentially bringing him back sort of goes to what you were saying about the front office not wanting to be wrong, right? Like, the ego piece, spent the first round pick on him. Exactly. I'll be damned if he goes somewhere else and breaks out. Let's bring him back here. The contract was decent, right? But still, I'm always like, what is Barnett doing? For him to be as like good as he was in the SEC in college, I really thought he would bring more to the NFL. And just really haven't seen it. And so for me, I don't know if it's softness or what, but, you know, can't get right, big pudding. Maybe it's a little bit of both. he is soft, big, can't get right. I don't know.
The one thing, Amal, that when you were talking, all I was thinking about was him and Josh Sweat was drafted in the same round. Josh Sweat was drafted later on.
The fourth,
should that have been swept around, given the production?
Probably, but we got lucky because Sweat got hurt, right? Like, you know, he got hurt coming out of college in the high school in the college into the pros. And so we took advantage and were able to, you know, get a guy that's highly productive. But yeah, to your point, you know, he's now getting outplayed by dudes that are later round picks than him, dudes that are newer to the team than him.
And to come full circle on what we were just talking about like 10 minutes ago, I pray to God that Josh Sweat isn't the casualty to keep Derek Barnett, because he was a first-round pick, man.
Exactly, bro. I told you the coach was crying.
Yeah,
but he got his paper, though, bro. Josh Sweat got his paper now.
Yeah,
so,
he got his paper. You know. Now he secured that bag. So I think he's good for another couple years probably.
Yeah.
Now, my next statement, not that I'm taking away from, reading is a good thing. But I remember distinctly in an interview when they interviewed Dillard and they were talking about practice and just the excitement of practice. This was last year. And then somebody had asked him his favorite book, and everyone's got their favorite books now, but he seemed to me that he was more excited about talking about his books than it was about getting in someone's face and challenges for his spot. And I was like, Dillard.
Talk about Dillard. Yeah. About Andre Dillard last year.
And it's these little things that you pick up as like, you know, I'm trying to find that fire. Like you seem like, again, you seem fired up about the books, which is great, but I'm saying be fired about taking somebody's job, and that's what I need to see. And he looked to me like he's put in some work in the offseason. I feel like, you know, we're gonna need him. If he's gonna be that swing tackle, we're gonna need him. But
absolutely,
what is happening?
Waves don't
but anyways
Wade's don't hit back. You can be good like Suggs, you know. But you play like
James. I didn't even press that.
No, man.
No, I'm just picturing Gale right now, just like
have your mic.
No, it was making noise. Sound like he was cooking bacon.
It's that arm strength of yours.
Yo, the look that you gave that mic, I host my screenshot of that. So,
hey man, this shouldn't be giving me problems. That's why
you good. You good now, but it was for a second.
The way you've been exploring this mic to us for the past couple of weeks, it should not be giving you no problems.
Oh dear Lord.
I'm just sitting here now that the joke is like 4 minutes past. I'm just imagining Gale can just from afar watching Andre Dillard reading a book like this motherfucker. Look at that. All the over there.
Reading is fundamental, but when I'm talking about when I want you to be fired up about whooping someone's ass too.
Yeah.
Hey.
He just wasn't.
Though? Right, like even coming out of Washington State, aggressiveness was never his thing. Right, like run blocking was never his thing. He was a pass blocker. He was a dude that was in retreat. He had good feet. He was able to mirror the movements of defensive ends. But everyone always questioned his fire. Everyone always questioned his intensity. And so we still seeing the same thing. I think he gets a bad rap because he cried. Right, like you know, crying is an emotion. People emote. Those things happen automatically. Nah, body just releases
it. It's not a bad rap. He got a bad rap because he's getting his ass kicked by a free agent outside linebacker in practice.
Were you talking about Joe Osman?
But Osman was getting busy though, bro.
Yeah, he was putting foot in his ass. And he was a free agent.
I was the first rounder down though.
I was almost like Joe Osteen was giving him the work.
I know he was giving the work, and that's when you start crying when a 250-pound guy is kicking your ass. Come on, man.
Joe Osteen on the field. Osteen, the preacher. That's what I meant.
We know who that is.
Okay.
Yeah, when people ask that question, it's like, "What are you gonna do? I'm gonna go cry. Really? Are you gonna cry?
He gonna cry in the car.
He gonna cry in the car.
So Cody says here, this is the first time I've heard Isaac and Dillard are having bad camps. Good to hear though. I'm not saying this is Camp Pudding. This is the award.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I've seen him at practice, and I saw the helmet thrown that I've seen. I saw why the helmet got thrown.
Mm-hmm. I heard Seal Mama was struggling. Dillard, I heard was doing okay enough, but then he was out with the concussion, so he didn't get a chance to step in when Mailata went down, and so you're just missing opportunities, right? Like, and that's the big thing here is like when you're in these positions fighting for your life, you can't miss opportunities. You got to take advantage of them because that missed opportunity could be the difference between you being in street clothes and you getting dressed on game day. And so you know, step up and take advantage, man. Like that's what these opportunities are all about.
Or
seize the second.
Or it could be the difference of being traded to another team. Bringing up our next topic, most likely to get traded.
Number 1-8 is going to be available. It's going to be available.
So we got a Rager from Evan.
Yeah.
I got Dillard.
Okay.
I think he's hot on the block, really. Especially with it's a couple of offensive linemen went down and up there with the Jets too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going Gardner Minshew, bro. I was thinking Miles Sanders, but I'm going to go Gardner Minshew. I think that there are a couple of teams that are struggling. They're going to get in the camp preseason, see that their quarterback situation is just an abomination. And somebody's going to convince themselves that Gardner Minshew is at least a bridge answer. I don't think he's that great, but, he keeps getting jobs to Hollis's point earlier. And so, I think that somebody will convince themselves he's the answer. And I also think from the Eagles standpoint, Carson Strong is going to put some work on that boy, man. He's going to put some heat on his back. And so, I think that it'll make it to a point where the coaching staff and the front office feel like Minshew might be somebody that they could go ahead and move on from. Exactly. And depending on what they get back for him, it could very well be worth it.
Prime, who you got?
I'm going to go with Rager, man. It's time, bro. He's got to go. I know Denver's there's a rumor that
my son said he gotta go.
I was like, I already packed. I got your bags packed, bro. It's time to go.
Those things have been packed since the last season. Give up the 18 jersey and let's give it to the young boy, man.
Wow.
And Cody, I would say Sinnott is putting that pressure on right now because he has familiarity with that offensive scheme. Mm-hmm. Sinnott and Carson Strong are in two different categories from the ability to actually play football, though. So expect that gap.
As far as staying healthy is concerned,
Sinnott's been shining a little bit. He's been all right.
I'm not saying Sinnott can't play football.
No, for me, I was like,
are his knees made out of tinfoil?
Maybe bubble wrap.
Listen, why you need knees, bro? He ain't running anyway. He's taking 3 5s and 7s. Wrap that knee up, 3 5 and 7, your way to a win, bro.
So we're down to our last superlative here. The Paul Turner recipient this year, after camp so far.
What's Paul Turner? What's the Paul Turner recipient?
That's the guy. Do you remember Paul Turner a few years ago? How everyone was hyping him up and they were just talking about relentlessly, like, oh, Paul Turner's going to be the answer for us this year. And then he didn't even make the team.
And he got cut, and people were first feeling a certain type of way. He came up big in a couple preseason games. And
Captain Practice.
Captain Practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who do I think is going to be Captain Practice?
It's BC for me, man. It's Britton Covey. And that's not a shot at saying Britton Covey's, because I said earlier that I think Britton Covey has a shot at making it as like the fifth wide receiver, but it's Britton Covey. I think that he has created all this buzz around him. He's a high talking point amongst the Eagles fans on social media. He's flash. He's had great speed. He seems like he could be a return specialist. But ultimately, he's not going to be the reason that the Eagles are, you know, the rest of the team is going to be the reason as to why everyone, the Eagles succeed. So the Paul Turner for me is Britton Covey this year.
I'm new to this award, so I'm trying to think. Who's that third running back? Or that fourth running back?
Boston, all right, Huntley. No.
Brooks.
Huntley. I'm gonna say Huntley.
Okay.
He's
got great speed, man.
Wait a minute, Huntley. Which one came from Detroit?
Huntley.
It's the one after him that I was thinking is Brooks.
Brooks.
He's gonna get a lot of work and he's gonna look good, especially behind our offensive line.
Yeah, I've been interested to see more out of him.
Yeah. You're probably gonna see more out of him because they're not gonna play the other three guys. I'm gonna go with Brooks.
Will says the old Nate Brown Award.
Oh, God. Oh, the old Nate Brown Award. Nah, Nate. Nah.
Further aim says Miss Chris Maragos on special teams.
Miss Chris Maragos.
I haven't thought of Chris Maragos.
Matt, who you got?
What about Speed Bump? What's Sean Considine? Speed Bump.
Sean Considine. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Wayback Machine.
Call this man Speed Bump.
Yeah. You know why I call him Speed Bump?
I'm assuming because he kept getting run over.
Well, you remember the first year they traded me to the Saints, and we was playing on in the playoffs, and we just kept running the ball with Deuce McAllister, and it was like a game-winning drive, and he came up, and all you saw was a look like a 37 explode, and Chris McAllister just kept going. It was like, so I dubbed him Speed Bump from that moment on. Somebody put up a Freddie Solomon Award. Nightmare. Matt Weber still be the man if we not had Chris Bonio on that kick on that Monday Night Football down in Dallas. I don't remember that, do you? When he wouldn't even kick the kick at the end of the game.
Who's that?
I know you guys may not be old enough. We had a Monday Night Football game down at Texas Stadium. And they threw a pass. Freddie Solomon caught it, came across the middle, got down to like the 4 or 5 yard line. All Chris Bonio had to do was kick a chip shot. The ball got bobbled a little bit, but they had the line held, and he stuck it up there, and Chris Bonio didn't even try to kick it.
Yep.
That's the first time I seen the coaches actually beat the shit out of a kicker.
I looked it up and saw Freddie Solomon was born in 53, and I'm not even going to act like I know who he is.
That's a different Freddie Solomon. Yeah, the Freddie Solomon you looked up was the one who played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, that's who I looked up.
I remember the botch kick, though, against Dallas.
Yeah. But, I think that was my second year. And when I was in the locker room, Bonio came back in the locker room and was sitting, like, next to the Gatorade. What did he do that for? And they was throwing gate red on him and pushing him in the head. I was like, wow, I guess this game meant a lot. What's up, AJ?
Now, before we get out of here, did you get your
I kind of wanted to hear your guys' answer on this, honestly.
On which one?
For the first touchdown of the season?
Yeah.
Oh, the regular season. Because right?
I got one locked and loaded.
Man, we
yes! Yes, Prime. It is going to be an emphasis to get Miles Sanders in the end zone after not scoring last year. Miles Sanders is going to be the first one to score.
But is he going to run straight? Is he going to run straight?
Or
is
he's going to cross the goal line. That's all that matters.
Is he going to run east to west, though?
It's going
to
be.
You got to run north to south to reach the goal line.
Exactly. That's what he fails to do.
Hey, you guys want to put money on this one? Put money in a pot. You pick a player.
Jalen Hurts, bro.
Okay.
So I'll put money on Jalen Hurts scoring the first touchdown. Like now, does he have to score the first touchdown as in rush it in or passing it counts too?
How do you want to do this?
Right? That's what I'm asking.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I would try to make out all of
that. I'm saying that he'll be responsible for the first touchdown.
Oh, no. Now he's going to be responsible.
He's responsible.
Okay.
All right. Like throwing the ball.
Oh, you're going to facilitate the offense.
Right, so you're going to give him credit for handing off the ball.
No.
You don't get credit for handing off the ball.
Pass or run.
Mm. I'm sticking with Miles Sanders.
All right, I'm going with
Jalen. Keep it short and sweet.
I'm gonna go with AJ Brown.
I'll go Dallas Goedert. We should put some money on this. It'll be funny. It'll be interesting.
Put the bread up. $25. Okay.
We could do that, man. So before
we give everybody preliminaries next week.
Evan, who's your guy, Evan?
I said Miles. I started it out.
You remember you guys think alike.
So before we get out of here, we'll give everyone their last word on what they want to see out of this preseason game. Before we get out of here, we'll start with Mal. What's your last word and what you want to see out of this Friday's preseason game?
Yeah, especially with Hurts, if the starters are playing, I just want to see a smooth first series. Right, come out, show that you can move the ball downfield. Don't hesitate. Use anticipation. Don't be afraid to make mistakes specifically for Hurts. But, yeah, I just want to see him show a little bit of growth, right? Like, you know, it's going to be relatively vanilla because it's the preseason. But I would love to see Hurts show that he's in the process of taking those steps moving forward. So, yeah, excited about that. But in general, I mean, back to what Tank was talking about, those that – the battles, right? You know, those second, third string dudes, dudes that, you know, are on the tail end of making the team at so many different positions. We have so many players that, you know, are on the cusp of either making the team, getting cut, getting traded. So just really curious to see how folks play in their first, you know, real live game, especially the rookies. Hmm. Yeah, and don't get injured. Yes, please, Lord.
Let's go, Mr. Tank.
Well, I was going to say I want to see a strong defensive performance. I know we're not going to see – that many blitzes because he doesn't blitz anyway. Yeah. But I want to see if our defense is going to step up, especially the secondary. Get the hell off the field on third down.
Right.
Don't give up no 10 or 12 play drive. We were notorious for that each and every game. We at least gave up one long ass drive. You sitting there like, man, the offense could have been back on the field. But that's right. Gonna be the first one. We don't give up, especially the first unit. Don't give up no long ass drive. That's what I'm be looking for from the defense.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go Prime. Primo, your last word.
I'm gonna say, man, I know the excitement is really gonna kick in on Friday. So on both sides of the ball, I would love to see with the first couple series that they're each gonna get. You know, the excitement is gonna kick in, but be at ease. You know what I mean? Play smart, play safe, don't get injured, you know what I mean? Yeah. And just show, but not too much. Like, go ahead and show out, but just not too much. But have fun, you know, and make sure that you know, like Tank said, man, stop. Let's show a different side of this defense. We are built to go ahead and be a top, you know, defense this
year, bro.
And I'm ready. I'm ready to go see those guys go to work, man. So that's all, you know. Just come out of that game with no injuries whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay. Besides arm strength, Ev. What are you looking
for? That's not even what I was looking for. So for me, I mean, what's the old football cliche? One of them. It's football's one in the trenches, man. I want to watch our big men move people on both sides of the ball. Yeah. I want to watch our offensive line bully their defensive line. I want to watch our defensive line penetrate their offensive line. If that can happen, I have great confidence for this entire season, because I think that if both of these lines are top five, top 10 in the league, we have a great chance to go far. So that's a good indicator for me.
Mal, did you give your last word?
Yeah,
you're up, guy. Stop pausing.
Stop pausing. All right, but last word for me. I really, at the end of the day, I just, you know, it's, we're gonna see vanilla, obviously, but just I just want to see the team connecting. I just want to see them move the ball. Just knowing what they're doing is a good thing. You know, it's not about, like, you know, making ridiculous plays here and there. I just need you to move the ball and do it in a way that we can be proud of. You know, obviously, people are coming to the game to see football. We 30,000 came to a practice. Just imagine what they're going to do at a preseason game. So I'm just, again, just want to see some good football, and I want to see the back end of the roster guys. I want to see Rager playing all game.
All he game. Better not take his helmet off.
All game. You know what I mean? So
have as a good that, show for Big Pudding. So we can trade him.
But yeah, that's all for us, man. We tried to go short, but this was a big show, a lot of big people and big thoughts and big ideas.
We had to, because
this is like a 1,000-pound room right now.
The minute Hearn started talking about arm strength, man, it got lit.
Man, I ruined your guys' night, didn't I?
20 minutes to deal with that.
Could have been a 50-minute show, but Evan had to talk about arm
strength. Evan and Prime.
All right, but
I didn't think that was the Paul Rudd meme that I was going for. I thought that was going to be the who would have thought we would have been here?
Yeah.
Sorry to ruin your moment.
But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles fly. And we'll see you in the next one.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.